Yes, Mr. Chairman, I want to make sure my notes are correct. You had opened a work session on HJR 78.
Yes, we did. Thank you.
Yeah, I recall that.
Would you like to open another one?
Yeah.
Sure.
Now we've gone through that, you still have that motion. We will open a work session on HJR 78.
You want to make sure we did it?
Oh, we're done.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Tape's good.
Okay. Close work session on HJR 38. I will now open a public hearing on House Bill 3434. Mr. McCormick?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Pat McCormick, and I'm appearing today on behalf of the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, an association of 183 radio and 23 television stations throughout the state. I wanted to outline some of our reasons for supporting House Bill 3434 and bringing it before you today. With me today is Don Monahan, who's general counsel for the Oregon Association of Broadcasters, who also has a comment or two in relation to the bill. One of our reasons for supporting this is that it provides greater discretion for local government. If enacted, this legislation would allow local governments to provide public notice through radio or television broadcasts as an alternative to newspaper publication. Currently, ORS 193, 0110, and 020 require that all public notices be published in a newspaper. While public notice may be provided via broadcast media stations that have countywide coverage areas, this may only be done as a supplement to the newspaper publication. House Bill 3434 would allow local governments an option not currently available to them. If in their determination public notice could be provided in a more effective, more efficient way via broadcast media, the local government could choose to do so. The legislation is permissive, not mandatory. For example, a county government that currently publishes notice on a public bid in the newspaper could, and we admit probably would, continue to do so. We submit that the local governing body, however, is in the best position to decide which media outlet will serve their needs best. For notification of public meetings, we believe the broadcast media could provide more than adequate notice to the public. Second reason is the broad coverage and the flexibility. Broadcast media are capable of reaching a broad audience in a short period of time. Messages heard or seen on a broadcast medium have an impact and may readily be revised to reflect changes in the public notice. In areas served only by a weekly newspaper, the local government has little flexibility in providing notice. Due to publication deadlines, local governments may not be able to change their agendas in the week prior to a meeting. In an emergency situation, adequate notice could not be provided to citizens if the publishing deadline had passed. The third point that we'd like to raise is competition in the media business. Currently, state law mandates that local governments communicate all public notices by publishing in a newspaper. This legislation would add a competitive element by removing that strict mandate to use only one kind of media outlet. Oregon broadcasters, like Oregon newspaper owners, are by and large small business operators. Oregon law currently directs a revenue stream toward one class of business operators while at the same time directing it away from another class, the Oregon broadcasters. By removing this barrier, local governments will be able to negotiate better service for a better price. In closing, allowing local governments this choice means only that there are more tools at their disposal to provide information to the public. It's proper and in the interest of the public and local governments to make a determination as to which media outlet would provide superior public notice. Without this legislation, that determination doesn't need to be made. I'd also add that at the first public hearing, we received input from local government representatives concerned about public contracting notices and local government budget notices. We have with us today and are prepared to offer amendments to exempt public contracting notices from the legislation. We would also consider exempting public budget notices, but we do not have the language to offer today. Finally, we have received suggestions about restricting the time of day such messages could be aired on broadcast media. This is something we're also willing to explore with the committee. We welcome your support, and I'd like to introduce Don Monahan.
Good morning. My name is Dominic Monahan, and I'm general counsel to the OAB. I was in attendance at the first session on House Bill 3434 and spokespersons for the newspaper industry commented on the proposal, and there were two areas of criticism of the bill that I wish to respond to. One was essentially that newspapers had a greater reach than broadcast would, that is radio and television. And I'd like to correct that. I think there's a misimpression there as to which of the two media is superior, because we're comparing apples and oranges. For the most part, newspapers in Oregon, as throughout the United States, reach less than half the households in any given market. Television and radio reach, and we're doing this on a weekly basis, reach over 95% of the households. There was another criticism leveled against the use of broadcast media for airing public notices, one of which was that it was much more expensive than placing a like ad in the newspaper. And in response to that position taken by the spokespeople for Oregon newspapers, I had an opportunity to go back and do some comparative costing between placing a notice to interested parties, which is typically an announcement that a personal representative has been appointed to an estate. And almost uniformly throughout the state of Oregon, when a newspaper accepts that legal notice, it's about 4 column inches. So in an effort to establish a cost comparison, if that sort of ad were to appear on a radio station or television station, what would it cost the estate that was publishing that ad? And in almost all cases, a radio station could, when you buy in combination, in drive time, which in the radio business is 6 to 10 in the morning, which is peak listening period, they can beat the newspaper cost. Sometimes it ratios up to 3 to 1. There are 19 daily newspapers in the state of Oregon, and about somewhere in the 70s of weekly newspapers. And I only did the comparison with the daily newspapers because the information for those papers are much more widely available as to what their rates are, what their circulation is. Corvallis, if I were to place that ad in the Corvallis Gazette, it would cost me one time $64 to place the ad. I can hear that same ad in drive time on an AM-FM combination in Corvallis for $24. So at a rate about 2.5 times less than what it takes to put it in a newspaper. I'm not saying that cost alone should govern a decision to place the ad. I do believe it's within the discretion and probably the responsibility of the person who has to make that decision. Similarly with ads announcing budget meetings, ads announcing public meetings of community colleges. There are a host of different public notices which appear daily in newspapers. And the industry feels that, perhaps unwittingly, over the course of 150 years here in the state of Oregon, as well as the rest of the country, legislatures created monopolies with newspapers, whereas it served a very legitimate purpose 150 years ago. Today, there's a lot of new media competition, and what we are is restricted from that by statute, and I just think it's time to revisit it. The broadcasters don't necessarily want a right to compete for all the business because, frankly, there are some legal notices which don't lend themselves to a broadcast publication, particularly the lengthy bid proposals which contain specifications as to numbers, meets, bounds, and all the details that are typically required either by local ordinance or statute, what has to appear in it. But that's a decision we think that a county clerk or other responsible official should be permitted to make. And we think this bill would open up the business of legal notices to competition. I think there'll be a distinct benefit not only to the legal community, but to public officials, because competition, I think, will tend to drive down those costs. And for that reason, the OAB strongly supports and urges that the committee gave a favorable report and approve it. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions, committee members? I've got a one or two. Where I live, grew up, from the newspapers that most people see on a daily basis, and what the local governments use are not daily newspapers or weekly newspapers. And whereas the daily newspaper is seen one day, thrown away, the weekly newspaper usually lays around there, gets a chance for working people who aren't listening to the radio during the day, TV during the day, to come home, and maybe they won't see it the night that the paper comes out, but then maybe they'll go through the paper on a Friday night or a Saturday night. How would you address those concerns in the rural areas of Oregon, where, you know, you've got it's kind of a different system than it is in the metropolitan area?
Yep. Well, I too grew up in a rural area. I grew up in Hepburn, where there is no radio and there is a weekly newspaper. It's a weekly newspaper in a county of 10,000 people. It's the county, it's the paper of record. But the newspaper in Hepner has a gross circulation of 1,700 people. That's the gross circulation, which means the editions which are sent well beyond the borders of Morrow County. The fact is, I'm still a subscriber. So, but in Hepner's case, in a lot of small communities where they don't have radio, Gillum County, Wheeler County, there is no radio. So they're going to depend on newspapers, and it probably will serve that purpose. But, for instance, if you go to John Day, Oregon, where they have the Blue Mountain Eagle, which is a great paper, the John Day Eagle has less circulation than the two radio stations that are located in John Day. Now, the two stations in John Day, which all the AM/FM stations, there is no television. They sell in combination. I don't have the figure here right in front of me. Their rate will beat the Blue Mountain Eagle's rate, probably 3-1. The fact of the matter is that if you were to run, they could probably run that spot 3 times. If they ran it in drive time, when they reach 50% of the 10,000 people that live in Grant County, they will get that notice. In fact, I think what ought to be given to radio is the opportunity to at least compete. A local official, a county clerk placing that ad, will soon find out whether or not it's going to reach people who are going to respond to it. They place an ad for a public meeting and they don't show up, and they place the same ad, and then another test case, they place the same ad in the paper and they do show up, but that may prove the point. But we don't know, because by statute we're not permitted to. Another statistic I'll throw to you, and this is from Starch reports, which are reports done by the newspaper industry itself, is that when a paper comes into a house, only 55% of the people who subscribe read the front page. Only less than 10% of the people who subscribe to a newspaper turn to the classifieds, where the legal notices appear. So if you have a circulation in a small weekly paper of a couple of thousand people, which is very typical for Oregon, you're only reaching 200 on an average. You're only reaching 200 of the people who actually subscribe who will turn to the classified section to read a public notice. Both radio, television, and probably in some cases even cable, which engages in niche broadcasting, will reach a far greater number of people than a legal notice, which is buried in the classified section of a paper, be it weekly or be it a daily newspaper.
What if we don't go quite that far east? My district represents just east of town, and there are no radio stations that specifically serve that area. There may be a cable station out there in one of the larger towns. I'm not sure. I don't live in town. I don't have any cable. I don't know that. But yet the area is served by the Salem stations, the Portland stations. So if a local school board puts a radio spot on, choose a station, I don't know which one, what's the chances of the people in that area listening to that station at that time?
Mr. Chairman, which community do you live in? I'm sorry.
I live 10 miles outside of Malala.
In Liberal.
Oh, no. On a map, I live to the right of liberal.
Yours may be a case where they would, where the local official placing a public notice would choose to say, I don't think there's an electronic or a broadcast media which will serve my need, and he may continue to print that notice in the local paper of circulation.
But if by chance, you know, you say that a radio station can do it for one-third the cost that a newspaper can, so to save money, which I believe most local governments are in the business of, are usually trying to save bottom line dollars, especially on public notices, because that is a very big cost for many local governments. So they can put it on a radio station. It may be played in drive time. It may be an FM station from Portland that has a good rate, yet, you know, two people in the entire area listen to that station at that time. And there's no way you can show a physical print of something that says, yes, we did put the notice out. You have to rely on their good faith saying that, well, it was on the radio from, you know, between 9 and 10 on this and such a date, but nobody heard it.
The first of all, you, if I were the official or the clerk placing the ad in your community or even Molalla, economically, I don't think I'd make the decision to place it on a Portland station because simply the cost is too great if you placed it on one of the major stations there. The cost is great, and you're right, probably doesn't have as much reach. I don't know what the listening habits or patterns are in Molalla or near where you live, but that probably wouldn't be a wise decision for that clerk to make. But and under this law, he'd still have the right to place it where he thought it should be best placed. If, for instance, though, if you take Corvallis as an example, or in Grants Pass, to cite another example, I think the media, the electronic media in those communities, should have a right to compete for it. It's not going to guarantee that either a radio or a television station will get that business, because the person may conclude that it simply won't serve his purpose. And there are communities here where this bill will have no effect because there either are no local media or the media that does serve that particular community simply will not be appropriate to place the ad. It won't have the reach, and it won't reach to the people, but who will be interested in that notice. But the whole purpose of public notice since this country was founded was to provide information to people so they could be informed about issues critical to their local community or which they have a right to participate in. For instance, I think it's well accepted that television, for instance, is the medium that over almost 50% of the American public rely on for their news. People who are interested want to stay tuned to what's happening. And I'm not talking entertainment. I'm talking news. Radio and newspaper are roughly second as the next two media which people rely on for news. Newspaper is second, like 22%, and radio is 19%. So people do regard radio. I mean, they search out radio and television for information which is of a more, it's not passive media, as people will have you believe. Many people use it for that purpose, but the record shows that the American people rely primarily on radio and television to get their news. That is, they search it out, similar to a reader who will rely on a newspaper to search out news or search out information which may be contained in legal notices. I hope I've been responsive to your question. We're not trying to get the monopoly on legal notices that now rests solely with the newspaper industry. We simply want it open for competition. And we think that appointed or elected officials who make the decisions to place these notices are probably in the best position to determine, you know, where that business should go.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, gentlemen. Whatever happened to Mr. Egan?
He had a law school class this morning, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
they signed up and ran. Oh, one more thing. We've heard about these mystery amendments. No one has seen them. Are there actually amendments that have been drafted?
There are, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mike Dewey.
Good morning. For the record, Mike Dewey, representing the Oregon Cable Telecommunications Association. Mr. Egan had discussed with me the bill and had discussed including cable in amendments, and I don't know if you have those before you or not, but if this bill is to move forward, I would want to make a case that cable television should also be covered under the auspices of this bill. Let me just give you a little bit of background first. There are, in Oregon, approximately 800,000 households that are customers of cable companies throughout the state. 98% of the homes are passed. In other words, they would have access to cable. And there are between 63 to 65% of the homes that are passed that have cable. And the penetration is higher on a percentage-wise in rural Oregon as opposed to urban Oregon for a variety of reasons. Like the previous testimony, we think the time has come for this particular piece of legislation in that there is one outlet that has the monopoly, if you will, and obviously this is discretionary, and we think it is time for the local governments to have the opportunity to look at other ways to get a message out. And cable, quite frankly, I don't want to sell cable that greatly here today, but nonetheless, it is a tremendous opportunity. We talked about how people get our news, and we get our news primarily through television today. Good or bad, that's how people primarily get their news. And if you look at cable, it is a newspaper in a different format, in a video format. You have news channels over here. You have business channels over here. You have local channels over here, which are public access. You have sports, an array of other niche programming. So obviously, it is a way of getting a message out to an awful lot of people in a community. And what is useful for it is also the number of times that a particular spot could be shown. It probably would not be a one-time shot. It would be more than once. And because you are concerned about how often somebody's going to watch an ad, if you will, on TV or listen to an ad on radio, what makes cable compelling is you're going to be able to play that because it is fairly, if you will, use the word, inexpensive to not only show these spots, you can play it more than once. And I see an awful lot of ads on a show that are shown three, four, five times throughout that half an hour. So again, there's an opportunity here for somebody to look at it and say, well, let's be creative. Let's produce something that is maybe a little bit eye-catching, if you will, as opposed to an ad in the newspaper. Obviously, these ads are not very eye-catching. I mean, I don't look at these ads, quite frankly. Now, maybe I'm not the typical person here, but nonetheless, I just don't look at the classifieds to look at public notices. I don't think I have in the last 5 or 6 years. But I read the newspaper religiously. And unfortunately, there are not as many people that read the newspaper as religious as a lot of people in this building. This is discretionary. We think it makes a lot of sense. We think it needs to move forward. I can understand with public contracts, it would be important to perhaps have some language that would exempt them because of the technical nature of those particular ads. But you could also be very creative with those. But if we want people to take a look at these, I think we need to give local governments the opportunity to provide the discretion and figure out better ways to get the message out. So with that, Mr. Chair, I'd be very happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. So the way this bill is written now, you don't think that cable would be included?
Well, I doubt it because on the one hand, the newspapers would like to hold their monopoly, if you will. The broadcasters would probably say we don't have a part of it, and I think cable has to have, it has to be cable. We did that with another piece of legislation with the broadcasters and the Judiciary Committee dealing with liability issues. But I think it's very clear to me that we need to add the word cable television companies.
Okay. Can
How would you envision this working? I mean, I know I've seen, I'm one of the 2% that don't have cable, obviously.
Well, you're not, let me correct that. I'm not one of 2%. It probably, you're one of the 2% where the wires don't pass within an area where you could actually have the cable company come out.
I see. Okay.
Hopefully you don't have a dish.
I was told by my phone company if I wanted cable, I'd have to get it through wireless using a dish. Anyway,
there you go.
I don't want cable, but that's a different story.
We have a special day.
Would you envision these public notices on cable to be part of the blue screen with words that scroll by, or would it be advertisements in other programming, or what is your vision of being on cable?
Mr. Chair, it could be a variety of ways. It could be what we call character generations, where the verbiage goes by, like what is the weather today, or the various announcements and so forth, for the public or the church or whatever the case may be. I don't think that's very creative, and I would want them to do something a little bit different. And I think they can do that with the, in many cases, you have the studios, you have the cameras, and it's pretty inexpensive to put these kind of ads together. So I can envision that you can actually have a voiceover at a public, in basically a video of the school board or something like that. And here's what's going to happen in 2 weeks or whatever the case may be. So there are a variety of ways that you can do it. And that's what I like about it, is that the folks in the county or local governments, whatever the case may be, look at it and say, this is a better way to get out the message. You have public access, and public access are channels dedicated basically to the local community. And what is nice about that is where you probably would go, because those people want the local stuff, are going to go to those channels. Maybe one channel, maybe two, in some communities, and maybe three or four. So there are a variety of ways that they could do it. And I don't even know if they've really thought about it yet, but at least they have the opportunity to think outside the box.
Okay, any other questions? No.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dewey.
Yes, sir.
Are you suggesting a conceptual amendment, or do you have amendment drafted?
I do not, because I thought Mr. Regan had an amendment in our discussions, but it would not be difficult to conceptually. You have to deal with your rules and conceptual amendments. This is not a difficult one for you, I don't think, but you have your own rules in terms of dealing with how you amend bills.
Mr. Putman, you've looked up the statutory reference and this amendment we have. I don't think that's dealing with cable, is it?
No, it does not. the two references in the amendment have to do with bid advertisements.
So we do not have an amendment dealing with cable at this time, unless someone else in the room has an amendment that we're not aware of at this moment.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Putman.
I think I heard you mention early on a possible amendment to take budget notices out as well. Or did I misunderstand?
Someone mentioned that in the first testimony. Mr. McCormick did. Apparently there's at least two other amendments or ideas for amendments floating around right now that we've heard this morning.
If I may, Mr. Chair, it may be wise to do that based on, if you will, the tradition. I don't know if I could make the case one way or the other for that. Public contracts appear to be the one that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bob?
Chair, members of the committee, I'm Bob Cantine with the Association of Oregon Counties. I was a little disappointed to hear that there was an amendment to take the public contracts out, because I was going to give you a good example on how that can work, and I still think that it's possible to do the public contracts, and I'll get to that in just a minute. Generally, I think where our position is to you that we support the direction moving with this bill to give us some options, to give us ways perhaps of introducing competition where we'll reduce the cost of advertising. Both of those are things that counties would like to do. The subject has come up several times in the past. I can remember when I first started work with the association, we had a bill that had to do with the cost of advertising in the newspaper, particularly all the financial data that we had to put in there that literally nobody was reading. And the legislature chose finally to remove the requirement that we put that in the newspaper, and that did save a lot of money when that was done. But at that time, and at the time we had the bill last year, which dealt with the budget process, we looked at ways of either going to other kinds of media, such as broadcast media, radio, television, even began to look at the Internet. And that's something I think we also need to start taking a look at. It's a very powerful form of communication now. We may be a ways from that, but at some point in the future, we will. Let me illustrate where this might come in useful. And we were talking just a minute ago about the contacting the bidding on contracts and the proposal to take that out of the bill. You just passed a bill, and I think the Senate has passed it as well, House Bill 2025, which was designed to simplify the notice on contract. And it gets down to being pretty simple. It says that all you have to do is to say the date and the time after which the bids will not be received, the date that pre-qualification must be filed, the character of the work to be done, or the material or things to be purchased, the office where you can pick up the specs. You don't identify the specs in that anymore. The name and title of the person designated for receipt of bids, and the date, time, and place of public contracting, and they will open the bid. That's it. That's what the advertising is going to be. So to me, that's probably something that can be done fairly simple over a radio ad or a broadcast TV ad. To me, I hope you have luck at keeping that in there. I don't think that's that difficult to do. There was another example I wanted to give you, and one in which we just happened to place a, what I guess would be, again, a bidding contract in the paper. This was the association did it. And I thought when I got the bill back, I said, boy, that's getting pretty expensive for what little I put in the newspaper. And so I went and pulled it back out, and it was a very little ad that went in the newspaper about a contract we needed for communication skills. And we ran it twice. The bill on that ad, and the invoice that came back said it was 8 lines, was $425. That's expensive. And I started being interested in this bill to say, maybe it's time that we take a look at other forms of trying to do public advertising. That was, $453. It ran twice, number of lines, 8. And that I timed myself on that night just sitting there. I said, how long did it take me to be a radio commentator and read that that document? It took me a little over a minute. But just looking back at some of the charges here, that had been made available on radio stations, and I could read that 2 or 3 times. I wouldn't come close to $353. So I just would like you to take a look at this bill, see if there aren't some. There may be a sideboard that needs to be put in there on the time of day in which the advertising can take place. I think they were, I don't know what the best time is, whether it's 7 in the morning till 9 at night or 6 in the morning till 9 at night. But I think that sideboard makes sense so that people know when those are going to be available, when they aren't aired at some time when nobody's available to listen to it. But I think we're moving quickly toward an electronic society, and I think this is time to begin looking at the ways in which you can use that for public information. I think it's a reasonable step right now.
Thank you very much, President Lundquist.
I assume that's in a large, probably a large metropolitan newspaper. This
it was, I believe it was the Statesman Journal. Yeah. Statesman Journal.
Okay. The bottom That's a comment off and then a question. In my opinion, the we have to keep in mind that the purpose of this is to inform the public in the best way we possibly can. And I know I went home this weekend, I talked to some neighbors about this particular bill. And they have no trouble if it is in addition to or part of. But there's a lot of people believe that, you know, if they, you don't have to be trying to have your radio turned on, your TV turned on at just the right time, you're not going to hear it. In contrast, where you can go home and there's a newspaper there, you may not read it till tomorrow or whatever. What's your comment about the fact that is there potential to take your print? I suppose sometimes you only publish it once, I suppose. But like if you're going to publish it twice, you can publish it once in the newspaper and then use your other money for TV or for radio or something. Any comment about that?
I don't know whether, I guess if the second ad was beyond the legal requirement, then that's a supplementary ad, and you could do it under current law, and that's possible. I don't know that, I guess you go back and you pay $250 for the first one, too, and that's pretty high when you look at the rates, $25 and less for 15 or 30 second ad on radio. You can run that several times before you get to $250. It may be, and it just depends on where you are. We had a discussion before you arrived by the broadcast proponents of the bill that there are some counties where the radio station is not, there isn't one, other than one that may be out of the county and may not be listened to by many people, in which case you go to the newspaper. I think the key thing is to provide a fixed time in which those ads are run so that people's behavior begins to relate to when that advertising is occurring. That's what we've had with the newspaper. We've gotten used to a way of doing something. So you have to make some change in people's behavior to begin to have them know when that ad's going to be coming out, at least the hours of the day in which that normally be run. Also, I don't think there's any problem with the newspaper, in my understanding, giving affidavit of publication that they broadcast that. The people who are interested in bids generally get them direct from the county. They're not necessarily looking in the newspaper and picking up the bid. They know what's going on in the county. So there are lots of things that are in play out there that I think the use of the broadcast media is still a very legitimate media form in lieu of the newspaper. And if you begin to create some competition there, it'll get them both creative. And I would begin to ask them, as a part of beginning to negotiate price with them, what are you going to do to make this thing so that I've got the maximum coverage? What kind of creative things will you do with it to extend that coverage to as many people as possible, make it interesting so they read it? We don't get many people that show up at the public hearings, and we already use one form of media. We get very few people that show up at hearings unless you get a real crisis, and everybody in the community already knows it anyway.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize if I know I came in late here, so I may hope I'm not duplicating the question. But in regard to, you talk about people's changing people's, I guess, pattern, or at least getting thinking now in another vein. Like in a Portland market, are you envisioning that you'd have one radio station then run the ads? I mean, because you have many radio stations. And I would assume if you're going to run on all those radio stations and everyone's sitting around this button, knows what it's like to try to advertise, or like you looked on, in, at least in the Portland market, it's not effective because it's just, you've crossed too many lines. But are you envisioning that a radio station come forward as the one then for public notice?
You could do that. You could negotiate that in the beginning of the year if you wanted to. I'm assuming that's a possible method of approaching it. Somehow you also have to choose your newspaper, too, if you've got competing newspapers that overlap. Whether you're going to do the East Oregonian or the Pendleton Roundup or that newspaper might be. You make that choice. You don't run them in both. I'm not sure what the newspaper is out there.
Most of them already have one newspaper.
Yeah. But you also have the Oregonian, which which goes also across all of the community clubs. You make that choice generally in the beginning of the year, and normally they designate a newspaper.
Other questions? Do you know how many times now do legal notices have to be posted in newspapers? Is it a single time? I know the school board budget meetings, I think, are there at least twice.
Good answer. I got it here. Just
if you don't, I'm sure somebody else can give us that question, answer the question.
Oh, if it should be in that bill, let me just look at it. If somebody else has it handy.
We'll get the question
here answered. Here it is, thank you, sir. I'm sorry, I don't have
we'll get the question answered in a moment. Anybody else have any questions this witness? Thank you very much.
One. At least one. It says, this is an advertisement for bid shall be published at least once in at least one newspaper.
That's for bid. That's not all public newspapers. It doesn't cover all public notices then.
That's just the bill.
Okay. Thank you. Dom, you had come back up. We've got some questions we need to ask you about the your, I think it's your amendment.
Yeah.
Sean, you want to come at the same time, please? And maybe you can clarify the answer to that question we just asked.
Mr. Chair, my name is Dominic Monahan, General Counsel to the OAB. In response to your question, it's a lawyer's answer. It depends by the statute. Some notices are single time. Most often, it contains the language referenced by the previous witness, is that it's a minimum, I mean, it's at least X number of times. For instance, the notice to interested parties I was mentioning, which is an obligation on the state, they have to do it at least three times, once a week, in a newspaper. It will turn on exactly what the notice is. A lot of them are single time, but typically the language is at least once, which means it would give the discretion to the appropriate public official to air it more than once if they so choose. And if he had the budget for it, he could do a spread of it.
Okay. Would you speak to your amendment? Mr. Putnam, I believe I had a specific question about it.
Well, as I understand your amendment, it simply takes the purchase of these ads out from under the requirement for competitive bidding. Or am I misreading your amendment?
Yeah.
It says this section does not apply to a notice required by, and then, I'll start over. I just don't understand your amendment.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Sean Miller representing the Associated Builders and Contractors. Following the first hearing, we did come in opposition to 3434. My conversations with Mr. Regan outlining our concerns dealing with public contracting in particular. And the attempt of this amendment is to exempt the public notice and advertising requirements under Chapter 279. Chapter 279 is the public contracting statutes. There are requirements under that statute for advertising for all public improvement and public service contracts in Chapter 279. To answer Representative Lundquist's question on the amount of in Chapter 279, the amount of advertising, it's at least once in a statewide trade publication and in the local newspaper, considered the local newspaper. Originally, our concern was that if the advertisement was done under broadcast instead of the requirements under Chapter 279, a lot of our contractors would never know that there was a public contract up for bid in their community. I represent contractors who in the morning put on a tool belt every day, work all day long, and in the summertime they're working till 9 at night. They work when the light's out, and you have to take advantage of the good summers here in Oregon. And they read the newspapers either on their lunch hour, the statewide publication is the Daily Journal of Commerce, which all contractors subscribe to, and their local newspaper to get some of the local notices that are going on. And they read those either during their lunch hour or late in the evening or on the weekends because it's the only time they have time. And again, if it was done on broadcast only, if 10 o'clock and the broadcast on the radio goes off and they miss it, they'll never know that there's a public contract that they might want to bid on. And so that was originally our concern. This amendment specifically addresses that concern, from my understanding, Mr. Putnam. And then, again, just to comment on AOC's comments from before, the gentleman from AOC, 2025 that this committee did pass does simplify the notice requirements under the public contracting statutes. There were several technical things required in the notice that really wasn't needed, and so a work group was formed. The intent of that bill was to actually reduce costs and reduce the advertising costs to local governments. That's why local governments were supportive of that, and we were supportive as well. But currently, to comment on another thing, they said under Chapter 279, the public contracting, last session, Senator Gene Durfler in the Senate did put in the Internet portion of that advertising as well. And so our contractors either get it off the newspaper or they can get it off the Internet on all the public contracts by state. So that is something that is that they are moving towards. But again, our concern would be to if this bill were to move on, to adopt the Dash 1 amendments, and then we would lift our opposition and at that time have no position on the bill.
Thank you. Questions? Mr. Reagan, you're here. We passed over you about 45 minutes ago. Do you have anything else to add that you didn't get a chance to say in your absence?
I would imagine that they've been adequately covered, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Any other questions, anyone? Did you get your questions answered about the how this amendment works?
I'll get with Mr. Miller later.
Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ori Brock.
Chair Beyer and members of the committee, for the record, I'm Lori Brocker, General Counsel of Oregon Newspaper Publishers Association, and at the first hearing, you might remember, I came up and introduced a few of the publishers who were here, and I won't repeat what they said, but have a few comments that to make about items that were not covered by those persons. And before I forget, I would like to just comment on a few of the things that were talked about with the broadcast. Certainly, the issue of the Internet and the new media, increasingly we are moving toward that direction, and I think if you've been able to look at some of the things that publishers might have sent to you via email or fax, several of them mentioned that and indicated that there is very little argument from the perspective of newspapers on that issue, because as we move toward electronic publication and move toward more people with access to the Internet, you're able to access an actual notice very easily and read it and print it and look at it at any time. That isn't the issue here with broadcasting. That's our concern. So we see a distinction between the two. As far as the issue of the monopoly that I've heard referenced or some sort of antitrust kind of issues, newspapers don't make a lot of money on this, and you'll see that in my written testimony, and we can get you those figures if you'd like. The Oregonian, which probably runs the most of these public notices and undoubtedly has the highest rates for running those, has generally, they're right in the beginning of the classifieds, and generally they're just a very minor portion of all the classifieds that the Oregonian ever prints. And so the bottom line for them is not going to be hurt grossly in any way. In contrast, local newspapers might feel that more intently. And yet, at the same time, this concept of right to compete, Mr. Chair and Representative Lundquist touched on this when they talked about the issue being public notification. It is, from our perspective, it is not news. And we certainly understand that for breaking news, newspapers cannot even come close to broadcast medium of any type. But this, from our perspective, is not news. This is a statutory requirement that we have been a part of for decades and longer, and we see this as something different than an issue of news or even right to competition. The goal is to inform the public. This issue, as referenced, has come up numerous times, and the part of the statute that is referenced now as current law providing for supplemental broadcast is more than three decades old. And one of the reasons that the law is written as it is, and I'll touch on this in just a moment, is because the similar discussions were had at that time when increasingly people were listening to radio or TV, and it was determined that public notification would not be adequate if it was simply by virtue of broadcast. There were three portions of the written testimony by the broadcasters that I respond to here in my written testimony. I'll touch on them because I know that you are tight for time. On discretion is often a very good thing for public officials. I know that some of you in other committees where I have, in hearings where I have attended, have raised some concerns about the potential for using discretion to possibly negatively impact decisions that might affect the public. And I think, I'd like to think that that would never happen, but with this possibility out there, it's certainly not beyond the realm of reason that someone who might not want to have the most complete notification of the public might choose or ask for a particular time or a particular type of notification that would ensure a particular result that they might want. And that's a concern of ours when there is complete discretion given in this arena. Statutorily now, are there very strict requirements on public officials to include particular things depending on the issue, public contracting, budgetary issues, public note or public meetings, whatever, that they must include. They do not have the discretion of that, and it has to be at this point in time, at least in a newspaper, at least one time. Coverage, absolutely, broadcast is capable of reaching a very large audience, but that's only if you take the audience in the holistic sense. It is not necessarily true that broadcasts will reach more people at that one particular time, or even two particular times, or even three particular times during the day that a public notice may be run. In contrast with the newspaper, and you heard some of that, I'm not going to get into a play of numbers as far as that, you know, how many in this county and how many in that county might listen to radio all during the day or all during the week. But certainly more people can get that information anytime they would like by virtue of the newspaper that's delivered to their home, or it might be sitting in the doctor's office, or be accessible in the library or any a number of other places where a newspaper might be laying around. Broadcast is not capable of promising and delivering that kind of exposure. On the issue of competition, I understand, as any of us do, and as taxpayers, the desire to reduce costs. At the same time, the statute requires newspapers to charge a particular rate that is specific to their area, their classified area, and apply all the discounts. There's nothing in 3434 that puts that same onus on the broadcasters. I find it interesting to talk about competition when we have statutory requirements that might apply to one business entity and do not include those statutory requirements for the other business entity. So if this bill does move forward, we are certainly interested in looking at applying the same kind of statutory requirements across the board as much as they can be possible, because we are talking apples and oranges, as Mr. Monahan talked about. And finally, as I noted before, that OMPA's perspective is that the context of public notice isn't necessarily something that should be determined just by cost, and that was noted as well by the broadcasters, and we agree with that. Practical problems. On the second page, I note some of these as far as the very technical, precise requirements. It's not only in public bid contracts, but also in numerous other statutes that require public notices and have specific technical language that must be included in the notice. For example, on one of a recent public land sale, file IRM 0039 on Thursday, May 13, 1999, at 9 a.m., the Oregon Transportation Commission will offer for sale to the public an improved parcel of land containing 8.17 acres, more or less. The property is located in La Grande, Oregon, at 211 Adams Avenue. The site is further described as Township 3 South, Range 38 East, Section 8AC, Tax Lot 100, and Section 8AD, Tax Lot 400, 310 in Union County, Oregon. The property is zoned general commercial, CG, and IL. The zoned portion is 26,000 square feet, component located on the northeast corner of Willow and Jefferson. Sealed bids will be received by the Oregon Department of Transportation and the Property Management Office located in room 411. Then it goes on with terms of sale. I'm only one-third through the public notice at this time, and this is not one of those that would be subject to the amendments of 279. So what we're talking is a potential problem in people even grasping that. Even the most brilliant Oregonian, I would submit, would not be able to get that information in even one, two, or three times. And people would have to have a pen and paper accessible right there when this notice was coming. So they'd have to have prior notification, not just of a branch of time, 6 to 10, but of the specific time so that they can be sitting down there and writing down all that information. And all that information at this point in time is statutorily required to be in the notice. Then we get to the last problem that I want to put before you, and that's the potential legal problem. Numerous statutes, as I've said several times already, ad nauseum, require those very precise technical portions of whatever is being, whatever the public is being notified of. Well, this statute, bill, as it's written, House Bill 3434, and I'm reading as of the original bill, is in my understanding of what I saw with the amendments, is that this would not change. It allows for the broadcast of the notice or a concise summary or a description, and then goes on and talks about of the notice at the times and with the frequency. Well, that language comes from more than three decades ago when supplemental broadcast was put into play, and it makes perfect sense for supplemental broadcast because of all the creative things that the broadcast people were talking about. Absolutely. Highlight it for people, get them interested, and then get those folks to the newspaper to look at that thing that they might have some opinion about or might want to get access to or know of the land sale or whatever it is. But statutes will not, at this point in time, allow for a concise summary or a description. Almost all of the statutes have very technical, precise requirements. So what would happen from one concern of ours is that we have statutes that have all these technicalities that are required by law and that a newspaper has to print. And then over here we have this provision that would allow a broadcaster and a public official to say, well, this allows us to have a concise summary or description, which is in complete conflict with the other statutes that require the technicalities and the specifics of the public notification. So I would submit to you, Mr. Chair, and I want to mention Representative Knope, because in one of the hearings that I have been attending having to do with marriage records that he is aware of, there were three different hearings trying to clean up an unintended consequence from the 1997 session. We would submit to you that the Attorney General, as he was involved in that situation, would again need to be involved in interpreting how do we put these two different approaches to public notification together. How do we align all these other statutes that have specific requirements with this that would allow a concise summary or description? Thank you for your time. I'm sorry to rush through it, but I have written testimony before you, and we certainly urge you to vote no on this, or at the very least urge you to consider amendments that would pull out all those things that already have been talked about, budget things, 279, perhaps others like the transportation one that I just didn't even barely get through or get into, that really are not going to result in adequate notification if it moves to broadcast. And secondarily, a different amendment to pull out the language of concise summary or description to make the law consistent if you do decide you think it's worthy of moving forward, and then requiring the broadcast of the notice the same way it's required by other statute to be placed in the newspaper.
Thank you. Questions? I mean, I'll just twofold, maybe. I'm not sure you can answer this because you may choose not to because of information of a clientele system. First question is the rate for newspaper advertising for public notices similar to other rates of advertising? And secondly, if this was to go, bill was to pass, would it reduce, in your opinion, the rate for public notice advertising because of the competition factor?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lundquist, actually statutorily, unless that law is also changed, we cannot reduce it. We are required to charge the actual classified rate that we charge for any other classified advertising with applicable discounts applied. So we have Oregon Newspapers has a rate sheet that we follow, that we have to, that's across the board with any classified advertising. And then there are discounts by virtue of size and whatever that often public notices benefit from, or the government, or we benefit from, because of the length of the actual classified advertising. But at this point in time, we wouldn't be able to actually compete, and that's what I was trying to allude to in my response to the raising the issue of competition, because statutorily we are limited.
Does that, do you have the statute number? Does it say you can charge only the classified rate, or does it say you can charge no more than the classified rate?
I don't have it, Mr. Chair, I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. It's in 193.
193?
Yeah.
There
is a reference to the rates that we can charge. I apologize.
Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Is there anyone else who did not get a chance to sign up? Testify in this bill? House Bill 3434. See, no one will close the public hearing. I have a list of things here that were brought up as possible amendments that have not been addressed yet. I can read those off, and you can write them down, or you could, if you prefer, you could we could talk about them after the meeting. Maybe I'll go through them quick and then give you a note afterward, just so that everyone here knows what I've come up with, and maybe other people may have some other things. One is add cable broadcasters to it, and budget notice. Two is budget notices. Three, the possibility of using internet also in conjunction. Four, something having to do with the time of day and how many the number of repeats a notice would require. I lost count where I was anyway.
Five.
Okay. Where do we go? Possibly a notice, and when a notice was required more than one time, and some are, it was stated that one notice would have to be in the paper and other notices could be on radio or TV or some other form of media. Possibly a putting a notice in a paper about the time of day when the notice will be on the media. These are things I have possible problems. There's also a declaring a notice of record station or media outlet that would be used. Another one we just heard dealing with cleaning up the statutes. They would compete with each other, or you know, the statutes of number one, whether or not the print media is regulated in statute, what they can charge, and number two, the conflicting statutes. And then another area to look at, possibly a pilot project where you would maybe put this into an area that is served by only a local radio or TV cable access station instead of the general area where you have multiple TV radio station areas. Those are ideas I have.
Well, the only idea that I have, which would depend on whether or not I voted for it, is that you'd be required to put an ad in the local newspaper giving a written summary at your expense of what you're broadcasting. So there would be an ad in the local newspaper just as there is now, only you would pay for it.
Those are some areas of concerns that were addressed in the committee. with that.
Mr. Chair, I can't help it.
Representative Thompson.
I can see it now, the public notice channel.
That's part of the term for us.
Thank you very much. Is there anything else that members would like to bring forward? If not, we're adjourned.